Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back for a very special hour-long conversation with a formidable intellect and courageous Muslim practicing his faith in Canada and warning us about those who are practicing their faith in a way that would be, well, perhaps quite lethal to the rest of us. Those specifically who follow the Islamist program, they often call it Sharia. And Tariq Fatah is a man I first met in the course of a movie that we made together called Islam versus Islamism, directed by Martin Burke. And Tariq prominently featured in it as one of the Muslims who was standing up to the Islamists seeking to dominate his community. And I'd like you to share with our audience, Tariq, that basic storyline, if you would, of your experience as a secular, cultural, certainly peaceable, tolerant, law-abiding, pro-Western, pro-freedom Muslim in a community that is increasingly, as you've indicated, being influenced by, if not dominated by, the Muslim Brotherhood and its ilk.
Well, there is a division in time that we need to make. Before 9/11, there was a different climate in which people like us were able to do what we did, and we were able to influence by engaging the Islamists into a battle of ideas. After 9/11, what has happened is that there has been a concerted attempt to bring absolute hatred towards any Muslim, whether he's in the United States, Europe, or in Canada, who calls for a separation of church and state in politics, to be depicted as an Uncle Tom, as a traitor to the community, and as someone who has sold out, who is on a payroll of the Israelis, Americans, or India, however you put it. And the task has become extremely difficult because now we are worried about our own safety as well. We regularly get death threats because many of the Islamists are now infiltrated within our police forces. Many have taken over the anti-racist movement, have infiltrated the black community's cause. Some have gone into our Royal Canadian Mounted Police to do outreach. One of the partners of the RCMP was even in Qatar a couple of months ago negotiating a peace deal with the Taliban. And he had the audacity to put it on Facebook. And he works with the RCMP. So if the infiltration and the accommodation of the Islamists within our societies at the hands of both people who follow George Bush or those who are with Barack Obama, both have entertained these folks to such a degree that there is no place for us in the public sphere to speak out.
This is a travesty, really, when you think about it. The very people that we should be promoting, encouraging, uplifting to the extent one can within the Muslim community are folks like yourself. And when you've described this this characterization of you and the efforts to suppress people like you, Tariq Fatah, you were, of course, talking about the Muslim Brotherhood elements, but their influence is now being felt inside the government in Canada and certainly in the United States as well. And maybe give us an example, if you would, about how that is translating into difficulty for you to both, conduct your affairs as a columnist in the Toronto Sun, perhaps, or the Muslim Canadian Congress, or more broadly as a member of the Muslim community.
Well, to begin with, a politician seeking vote banks in any urban center, we have a parliamentary democracy here, would always be warned by the close association of consultants, beware of meeting with any Muslim who is liberal or secular, because that will take away the vote bank of the right-wing, ultra-Orthodox, extremist Muslims from the mosque establishment. This is quite bizarre. So you have left-wing atheists who would be hanged before anyone else if the Islamists came to power, gay activists, feminists, all supporting the Islamic extremist or Islamist movement, simply to appear or be part of what is an anti-American coalition. So in the absence of the left having any ability to get elected from anywhere, they rely on urban centers where you could generate support for yourself politically. And despite our warnings, I mean, in Canada, we have a prime minister and many members of the cabinet who understand the threat and have clearly identified in so many words saying Islamism is a threat to human civilization. Just yesterday, the Prime Minister of Canada appointed Richard Fadden as his national security advisor, which is an absolutely delightful development because Mr. Fadden is one of the few people who slammed the mainstream media for saying that whereas they would be outraged at the drug pusher, they would be delighted and make folk stories, hero stories of Islamic terrorists. And he's asked them as to what was the reason you do that. And so he knows what the threats are. That means that in Canada, at least till Prime Minister Harper is there, at least we will be able to move and speak. But if it changed, if government shifted to the Liberals, or if Justin Trudeau was elected as our Prime Minister, I dread that day. Or if another Barack Obama came, what would happen to us?
Well, we are facing very much a problem of that kind right now on our side of the border, of course, with a president who has not only reached out to, but engaged, funded, armed in some cases, certainly emboldened the Muslim Brotherhood, both domestically and internationally. In fact, one of the interesting developments, as I'm sure you're aware, Tariq Fatah, is that the president or his State Department, at the very least, apparently objected to the designation by the United Arab Emirates of one of the most prominent Muslim Brotherhood front organizations, the Council on American Islamic Relations, as a terrorist organization when the UAE did that. Yeah, it's just a perfect example of the degree of penetration and subversion. And just to, again, bring this home, Tariq, as you have operated within the Muslim community, you've mentioned you've been subjected to death threats. And this is something that can't be, ignored in light of the violence that we've seen most recently, of course, in France, but in Australia and indeed here in the States as well, and in Canada not so long ago. To what extent do you find others in your community willing to come forward and share with you the dangers in the interest of protecting themselves against this Islamist threat as well as their country?
Like any other community, most people are not active politically. I mean, they got mortgages to pay, ball games to watch, children to raise, manage their marriages, keep everything happy. It's not easy to spare time to do political work as a volunteer. So most people are quiet, not because they're scared, but because they're worried about being socially ostracized from within the community. Now, whether you are born at birth and at death, and at marriage, these are the three avenues in a Muslim's life where the mullah controls your life. If you're born, your child will not be for lack of a better word, baptized. If you get married, the mullah won't come to marry you. And if you die, they won't give you a place to die in your cemetery. So the mosque establishment and the Islamic Brotherhood control these three centers. Now, if you are already a marginalized community as first-generation immigrants and you're having a tough time with two jobs, the one thing you don't want to know to happen to you is not be invited at birthdays or weddings.
Your ostracization from the community that is your kind of only refuge at the time. Hold the thought, if you would, Tariq. We've got to take one more break. We'll be right back with much more, with a most thoughtful and most courageous Muslim in Canada talking about the threat that not only his community, but the rest of us face from the jihadists. That and more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.